Well, good morning, Athens First United Methodist Church, and Happy New Year to you. It is such a joy to be with you on this first Sunday of 2024. It is also a special day in the life of the church because today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, which means that churches all around the world are remembering Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. And one of the things that we do when we remember Jesus' baptism is we remember our own baptisms. We reaffirm our baptismal vows by coming to the water, by remembering our baptism and being thankful. And so this morning we have the opportunity to do just that. And I'm so grateful that you could be here to do that with us. Because today we're actually kicking off a brand new six-week sermon series. It's called This Is Us. And what we're going to be doing over the course of these next 6 weeks together is we're going to be looking at some of the most fundamental tenets of the Christian faith. We're going to be asking the question, so like, what do we believe about God and faith and grace and the church? What do we believe? But not just from a Christian perspective, but from our perspective in the Wesleyan tradition of faith. In other words, why do we do what we do in the Methodist Church? What makes us us? That is a critical question because I believe that when we know who we are, we know how to live out our faith. So this morning we start with the topic of baptism. And I want us to look at some words that the Apostle Paul actually wrote to the church at Galatia about baptism. These were people who were very young in their faith. They were new converts. They were formerly pagan. They've been baptized, and they're basically asking Paul, what does this even mean? So in chapter 3, starting with verse 26, the Apostle Paul says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have now clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you this day and forever. Thou who art our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when I was growing up, one of the biggest celebrities in the world was a professional wrestler by the name of Hulk Hogan. Anybody remember Hulk Hogan? If you're not familiar with Hulk Hogan, what you need to know about him is he was a 1980s wrestling icon. And he was the kind of guy that all of my elementary school friends and I wanted to be just like. Because, of course, to us, he was the epitome of cool. I mean, he was big. He was muscular. He would, like, tear his shirt off at random moments just to prove how tough he was. And maybe the best thing about Hulk Hogan is he had a rockin' haircut. Because although he was going thin up top, he grew out his mullet in the back. And so, of course, all of my friends and I wanted to grow out our mullets too, no matter how terrible it looked. And believe me when I say, it looked terrible. But nevertheless, to see the mullet making a comeback, to see the mullet making a resurgence these days, can I just say that it warms this little Hulkamaniac's heart to see it happening all around us. Now, the reason I bring him up this morning is simply because a couple of weeks ago, I was scrolling through Instagram and I came upon a reel of Hulk Hogan at the ripe old age of 70 years old, being baptized in his church down in Sarasota, Florida. And it was kind of comical to watch the video of his baptism because, of course, like Hulk Hogan's like 6'7", and he's still built like a Mack truck. And so to see his kind of smaller pastor try to fit his arms around the Hulkster and to lean him back into the water, I promise you, I thought both of them were going down for the count at some point during that baptism. But nevertheless, they got up. And in that moment, my 1980s wrestling hero became a soaking wet, freshly baptized, new creation in Christ. About a week after the baptism, there was a reporter from Tampa that went to interview Hulk Hogan about his religious experience. And the reporter, one of the first questions that he asked Hulk Hogan was, "So what took you so long? Like, why did you wait until you were 70 years old to decide to become baptized?" And Hulk Hogan said this. He said, "Now, honestly, I came to faith in Jesus when I was like 14 years old. So I've always kind of been a Christian. But," he said, "for whatever reason, I was never baptized back in the day. And I guess one of the reasons why is because in all my years in the church and all the sermons I ever listened to, I never had a pastor tell me why baptism was important. I never heard a pastor tell me why baptism matters." That statement has haunted me for the last 3 weeks. Because as a pastor, the last thing I would ever want somebody to say is that I failed them when it came to baptism. The last thing I would ever want one of you to say is, "Oh yeah, I went to Athens First for a number of years. And I listened to that big Hulk Hogan loving guy. And in whatever he was preaching about at any given Sunday. But never once in all of those sermons did I ever hear him explain what baptism is. Never once did I hear him explain why baptism matters." And so this morning we're going to fix that. Because this morning we're going to look at baptism not just through the lens of what it means through a Christian perspective. We're going to look at baptism through the lens of a Wesleyan tradition of faith perspective. In other words, we're going to ask the question, why do we do baptism in the United Methodist Church the way that we do it? Because Lord knows there's a million different ways you can do baptism. Lord knows that there's lots of different perspectives in other denominations, in other churches, about what baptism means. So what makes ours so unique? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, back in the 1980s, the United Methodist Church decided to come up with a document that kind of outlines all that we believe about baptism. It's called "By Water in the Spirit." And do you want to guess how long it took us to come up with that complete document? It took us 8 years to finish it. This morning, we're going to cover all of the bases in that document in less than 12 minutes. My brothers and sisters, do you think we can do it? Okay, me either, but we are going to try. And I'm going to do my level best. So, in the United Methodist Church, first thing you need to know is that we celebrate exactly two sacraments. Other churches have more. The Roman Catholic Church has seven. Other churches have different sacraments. In the Methodist Church, we have two sacraments, or what we call outward signs of God's invisible grace. They are holy baptism and holy communion. And the reason why we only have two sacraments in the Methodist Church is because those are the only two things that Jesus did during his ministry, but also told us to continue to do after he was gone. Because when he was in the upper room with his disciples, he took the bread and the cup and he gave it to his disciples. And do you remember what he said? "Do this in remembrance of me." And so for the last 2,000 years, that's exactly what we've done. But also at the end of his ministry in Matthew 28, he's standing with his disciples on the top of a mountain, and one of the last things he says to them before he ascends into heaven is, "Go therefore into all the world and make disciples." Great. How? By baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so once again, that's what we've done throughout all of church history. We have engaged in the practice, in the sacrament of holy baptism. But still, what exactly does that mean? Well, in the United Methodist Church, you may know that baptism actually means a lot of different things. It's very nuanced and it's multifaceted. For instance, one of the things that baptism means is it is the means by which we are initiated into the church. It's how we become members of the church. In fact, whenever I've done baptisms, maybe you've heard me say the words, by the sacrament of holy baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. Now, one of the things you need to know about that moment is that when we're initiated into the church, we're not saying you're initiated just into this church or a local church or the United Methodist Church. No, we're talking about the Big C Church. We're talking about the church universal. Because one of the things that we believe very fervently is that in spite of the church's divisions, in spite of all of the differences and disagreements we've had over our 2,000-year history, we still believe at the end of the day, we are but one church. We are all a part of the body of Christ. Or as the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians 4, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In other words, what that means is that when we all get to heaven one day, there's not going to be like a Methodist neighborhood over here, and then you cross town and there's a Baptist neighborhood, and then the Catholics have their own HOA and everything, and maybe sometimes we get together to play softball or have a picnic, but otherwise we stay separate. No. God sees us all the same. And if there are any denominations, that's our fault. And we consider it sinful that there would be any divisions in Christ's church, but we're human. And so there have been disagreements and differences of opinions over the years, and so we've divided. But nevertheless, we still believe in our heart of hearts that we are one. That's why in the Apostles' Creed, one of the things we say every single week is that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, when we say that, what we're saying is not like we believe in the Roman Catholic Church, like the Pope and cardinals and bishops and all that. No. Catholic is just another word for universal. What we're saying is we believe that God has just one church in which all of us have been welcomed and initiated into. And how have we been initiated into that church? Through the sacrament of baptism. Because it's in baptism that God claims us as his children and he welcomes us into his big family of faith. But you know, that's also why we baptize infants in the United Methodist Church. And I know not every church does. I mean, there's some churches that feel very strongly that you shouldn't baptize infants, but we do. Why? Well, one of the things we believe about baptism is the fact that baptism is not just when God claims us as his children, but it's also when he pours out his Holy Spirit upon us. He gives us this gift of grace, this free gift that we did not deserve, but that's what happens in baptism. And so the question we've had to ask as a church is, so how old do you have to be to qualify as a child of God? How old do you have to be a recipient of God's grace? Is it 5 years old? 10 years old? Do you have to have your driver's license? Do you need to be able to vote? This was a big debate in the church for a long, long time, but the United Methodist Church said, actually, we don't think there's an age requirement because we believe that from the moment you are born, you qualify as a child of God and a recipient of God's grace. And so, in the Methodist Church, we baptize people of every age, even babies. But of course, that's also why we don't re-baptize in the Methodist Church. And that's a question that I get a lot from people, is why can't I be re-baptized in the Methodist Church? But here's the thing you need to know about baptism. In Methodist Church, we believe that baptism is something that we can do and reaffirm our vows. We believe that we can renew our covenant, but we are not in a position to ever say we are rebaptizing a person. And that's because we believe that baptism is an act of God. That God is the primary actor in baptism, which means that it's God giving us his grace. And not only is God giving us his grace in baptism, but he's making a covenant with us. And when God makes a covenant with us, you don't have to do that over again. You don't ever have to say, hey, I need a redo, or we should repeat that because it just didn't work. No, we believe that when God makes a covenant with us, no matter how poorly we've upheld our end of the bargain, God has always upheld his. And therefore, it's something that we never, ever, ever have to do over again. In fact, I remember years ago, there was a woman who came into my office one day. And she was absolutely adamant that she wanted to be baptized. Of course, I was like, that's great. Let's get you baptized. Of course, that means you've not been baptized before, right? And she said, well, I think I was baptized when I was like 14 or 15 months old, but I don't remember any of it, and I'm pretty sure it didn't take because I've done some pretty bad things in my life, and it's time for me to get really baptized. And I remember I smiled, and I said, okay. Well, let me help you understand what we believe about baptism. Because I want you to know, I hear you loud and clear, and I actually agree with you 100%. I know exactly what you're thinking because I've been there too. We all have. But in the Methodist Church, we believe that in the moment of baptism, God makes a covenant with us. And no matter how far we've strayed from our baptismal vows, God never strayed an inch from his side of the baptismal vows, which means that we can reaffirm our vows, we can renew our covenant, but we never have to rebaptize in Methodist Church, because in the moment of baptism, what God says to us is, you are mine and you are loved, and nothing will ever change that. You know, I think that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying to the church in Galatia. I mean, here was this church that had just recently been baptized. They were pagans, now they're Christians. They don't really understand it all. And so the question they had is, what does this mean? Why is it important? Why does this matter, Paul? And so what does he say to them? He says, this means that you are now a child of God. And those of you who have been baptized have also been clothed with Christ. And therefore, he says, what that means, he says, is there are no more labels on you. There's no such thing as Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying to them and to us is, no matter how hard the world tries to label you, to put you in a box, to tell you who you are based on their definitions of who you are, what baptism tells us is who God says that we are, and who God says we are is, you are mine, and you are loved, and nothing will ever change that. So here we are on the first Sunday of the new year. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that there's a better way that any of us could start the new year than coming forward and putting our hands in that water and remembering our baptism. Now, I know there's lots of things like New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff, but that's not who we are. Who we are is reflected in that water. Our God-given identity is found in that baptismal font. And so my hope, above all hopes for all of us this morning, is that when we would come forward and we'll receive the bread and cup, and then we'll come and we'll touch the water, my singular hope for all of us is that we would simply see this as an opportunity. an opportunity to reaffirm our vows, an opportunity to renew our covenant, but most importantly, as an opportunity for us to remember who we are. Because when we remember who we are, we will remember how to live out our faith. And so when you touch that water this morning, this is all you need to know about who God says you are. God says, you are mine, and you are loved, and nothing will ever change that. Amen.